You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And not only that, but in Africa on all my mission trips, I saw God use me to set people free of unforgiveness, tribal hatred, the shame of being raped and molested. I ministered to people with the Holy Spirit, and people were set free of a lot of stuff that the enemy had planted. So, those who the Son of God sets free are free indeed.
Pretty remarkable.
The Holy Spirit's the power of God.
And it's all because someone died. And you called out to God, one of your coworkers, and that shook
and
you up.
And I knew that I wasn't right with God, and I was a sinner. And if that was me in that casket, I was on my way to hell, and I knew it.
But I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. I wonder why you were so cognizant of the fact that you knew your spiritual situation was you were poor spiritually.
Well, I knew I was a sinner. I hated sin. I didn't want to sin, but I realized that I was a sinner. We're all sinners. The only sinless one was Jesus, and he's God. We all, you tell a little fib, you're a liar in the sight of God. You walk off with someone's pen, you're a thief in the sight of God.
Yeah.
If you've ever loved anyone more than God, you've broken the first commandment. If you've ever used his name in vain, you've broken the fourth commandment.
You know, I want to talk about that. He says, if you put anybody before me, a mother, father, wife,
sister, brother,
husband, sister, brother, you're unworthy of me. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember I fell in love many, many years ago, and I still think about that young lady, and God used her to just utterly crush me. I was in my early 30s, but that is, I think it was a blessing in disguise. Because it utterly, broke me, And I was going to say something else. What were we just talking about, though? I forgot where I was going to go with that. What were you just talking about, Kathleen?
The Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Ghost and wanting to be able to do the signs, wonders, and miracles.
Now, why did you want to do this? Was that for your ego? Or is it because you wanted to duplicate the love that had been shown you to others?
Yes, that's one thing. Also, I read in Mark, the last chapter, those who believe in me and my name, they will cast out devils. They will pray in other tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I was like, I want that baptism. I want that power to do the things God says we can do. I want to do them.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I know what I was going to say. I think in that relationship, the reason God had it canceled it, even though the Holy Spirit put us together, is because I think I loved her too much. In other words, well, not love too much, but maybe just you can put someone on a pedestal or they can become your God. For mm-hmm. instance,
yes, they can.
And this is something to think about. You have a son mm-hmm. and you have a husband. Do you have a daughter too or just your son?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So when my parents were alive, it was my mom, my stepdad, my brother, and we had a family unit. We were very, very close. Now, you might be a friend, but you're not the family. You might be a friend, but you're not the family. Now, my brother, I lost on 9/11. He drowned. He wasn't in New York City. It's a long story. But on that date, he drowned. And it's because of what went down in New York. But anyway, drove him to drink and drowned off his boat. But anyway, I've lost my mom now. I'd lost my biological father when I was 5, and then I lost my stepfather. So that family unit's gone. And so I've had to look at my other male friends and go, so this is the closest thing I have to a brother now. But the funny thing is, not the funny thing, ha-ha funny, but the odd thing is this, that, okay, so we get to, Jesus said you must be born of the water. That's of your earthly mother. And then you must be born of the Spirit, Mm-hmm. And there's an old saying, blood is thicker than water. Now, most people think that means your blood lineage is thicker. You may be a friend, but the bloodline, the DNA, is stronger. Whereas, in fact, what is meant by that saying is that the blood of Jesus, if you have truly been born again by his blood and you have his DNA, actually, even if I had a physical sister, which I never had, but if I had a physical sister, you are more my sister than my physiological sister if she doesn't know Jesus, because you and I share that DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a marvelous thing to think about. It's never ending, is it? It's like the peeling off an orange, I mean, or an onion, and it's just you peel and you peel and you peel and you grow and you grow and you grow and you learn new things all the time.
The Bible never gets stale or old. God's still teaching me things from its pages. He always, the Holy Spirit, when you first come to Christ, will take you very gently and start to show you the milk of the word, okay? So you'll learn very easy lessons, just the milk of the word. Then as you digest the easier parts, then he'll start to show you more and more
now,
and more.
I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I think the milk is. I think the milk is learning the parables, the lessons, the things we should do right. I think the meat is, okay, you've been going to church, you've been studying and remember Jesus said they're forever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. And truth is, and I'm hard on myself lately. I'm not going to be hard with anybody else. I just got to keep my side of the street clean. But who have I fed lately? Who have I been kind to lately? Who have I ministered to? Because Jesus plainly said, if you say you love the Father whom you have not seen and don't love the brother whom you have seen, ye are a liar and no truth dwelleth in you. So,
exactly.
So we're called to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit people in prison.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, you went to Africa how many times?
23 trips.
23?
6 weeks at a time. Yes, 6 weeks at a time.
Have you been to I went to Zimbabwe to do a concert in Chibok Stadium.
I've been mostly in Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, and Tanzania. Kenya, I've been in Malaba, Malindi, Akunda, Nairobi, Mombasa, Kisumu, the Narok Mountains, the Garissa Deserts, and everywhere in between, preaching and teaching the Bible. I've been on Jesus is Lord Radio out in Nakuru, Kenya. I've been on Ciara Radio and TV out of Eldoret, Kenya. So, yes, I would preach. When I'd leave Kenya, I would go. My coordinator would fix 6 weeks of meetings. He would get the posters made and the host passed his picture, my picture, and advertise the meetings. And he would drop all the posters to each place. And a week before my arrival, they would put the meetings out there. My face would be on my tattoos, on buildings, on corn stalks, advertising the meetings. And I would get on a plane and go for 6 whole weeks. That'd be a week.
Now, do you have a wealthy husband that pays for this? Are you wealthy that pays for this? Or do you get people who solicit funds to help you do this?
Let me say this. If I had waited for a church to sponsor me, I would be still waiting. I never would have left. But God spoke to my husband to release me. People thought I was nuts, you know, going to another country, meeting up with a stranger I had met for 4 hours with Marilyn Hickey on a street outreach. They thought we were nuts, wiring funds to a stranger, but God confirmed to me, he had called me to go do crusades, build the body of Christ in Kenya. And my husband, he spoke to him to release me and trust me with trust that God would bring me home.
But where did you get the dough to go?
We went into our retirement plan and used our retirement money for these trips. Got the airfare and sent the coordinator the funds to go to these places and schedule meetings, build platforms for crusades, posters, do all that. We pretty much, it was my husband and my son contributed also toward the ministry. And I had no real steady sponsors except for my husband and my son.
Let me ask you this. When you went there, you remember Reinhard Bonnke?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, I don't know if you got a chance to meet him. He lived here for a while, and he and I became friendly. And, of course, he would get, he said at times that, I mean, I know there were at least hundreds of thousands. They claimed that sometimes a million would show up. Did you have big crowds like that show up for you, and did you have any miracles that took place?
Let me just say this. A lot of these bigger meetings, you had piles of church people that were already saved going to the meetings.
Yes.
So you'd have a big meeting, have a million people show up, and I'd say about 75% of them were already saved in local churches.
Or more, and or more.
The Lord sent me into villages, slum areas. The village people, they barter. One will grow a crop of, say, potatoes. Somebody else will grow cabbages. Somebody else will grow corn. And they just swap their merchandise. They don't have money to come into the towns to attend meetings. The people in the villages, they barter and they don't have money. I'll trade you some milk for some beef. I'll trade you a bag of potatoes for a sack of cabbages. So that is how they live in the villages. They don't have cars. There's a matatu, a public transport vehicle, that may come once a day, maybe, through the village to pick up people if they need to go into the town, say to a doctor or something. But that's it. Nobody owns a car in the village. They mostly run or walk places, and they just trade merchandise. So they don't have money to go to the towns to attend meetings. God sent me to the villages where there was no electricity, no running water, no indoor plumbing, places where they would give you a little tiny pan of water, a little tiny bit of water, and that was your bath. I mean, you dip your face cloth and you just go over yourself, and that was it. And you wouldn't ask for more money, more water to wash your hair, because they carried it for many kilometers and you weren't going to put them out making them get more water for you. Mm-hmm. So I ate what the people ate. I prayed over the food and I ate it, whatever everybody gave me to eat. I didn't ask for extra food, special food. I just learned that when you're there to minister, you don't want to be a problem for the people. You're there to be a blessing and not a problem.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America's new clinic is now open in Port St. Lucie. Do you suffer from poor sleep? This can be a root cause of Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has tools to address sleep issues. Also, in the observational study of their protocol, 75% of patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. These are amazing results. There is now hope for loved ones suffering from cognitive decline. Online at atca.ai or